We'll be sharing on the pleasure. When the pleasure turns to pain.
Thank you.
I'm not taking it. I just want to say, you got the time?
No, she doesn't.
Can I go? Hi, family. I'm Gil and I'm at it. I'm real nervous, and the fire marshals is on their way because they still coming in. Wow. I'm getting real nervous. Okay, let's do this. Okay, again, I'm Gil and I'm at it. The topic is something that I think I can elaborate on. Go in. Talking about the pleasure of being amongst the people in Narcotics Anonymous has really changed my life. I want to first start off by saying to the committee, thank you, you know, for giving me an opportunity. I've been praying all day, but I was outside at the ocean and I see how far it was before I was able to see on the other side. And when I seen that, I said, darn, they selected me out of all these people all around the world to come here and share my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm going to do the best I can. I'm just going to give you me. You know, I'm going to start off with, again, the pleasure. And the pleasure of having people in my life that supports me, even though I half the time don't want to support myself. You know, the pleasure of having, being brought here by my mother and father. I'll talk about that a little later on. But I thank God for them. I thank God for my disease, my travels, and the journey. Because he got me right here where I need to be. The pleasure to qualify myself, that's what they're telling me to do. I'm Gail and I'm an addict, and the 29th of September, I will have 24 years. Yes. I couldn't have done it without you people, and thank you for loving me for me. You know, I like to kind of just dive into a little bit of the topic. When the pleasure turns into pain. There's not much I can really talk about the pleasure right now because I'm bombarded with a lot of pain that comes in. I'm a mother of five, you know, I did the best I could, but I didn't know how to raise them when using, right? And I don't know where that book was at. But I didn't find it in the bookstore at all. So I did the best I could with what I was working with. You know, I remember seeing my mother through me growing up. Can we turn this down some? With me growing up, watching different men. I'm not trying to tell a story, but during the course of the years, I found different men. And it's probably because she didn't like that one for whatever reason and didn't like that one. You know, because that's how I am now. Because if I don't mess with you like that, you ain't going to see much of me. You know, I'm going to give you everything I got and I'm going to tell you, wait a minute, I've got to call you back because so-and-so is on the phone. I'll do everything I could to avoid you. But when I seen that, for some reason, I said, I'm not going to be like that. You know, but my disease took me to be with your brother, your uncle, my son's friend, my neighbor, people's husbands. You know, I just kept saying I didn't want to be like that. But during the time of growing up, I just felt like I was never good enough. You know, I could never do enough. You know, and I remember telling my mother one time or another, you know, when will I be going back home? to my real mother. You know, this is my story and I'm sticking to it. Because I never got treated with the love and the kisses and all that, you know. I was like my father. And during that time, my mother and my father were separated. And when he left, I got every bit of it. I look like him, I talk like him, my attitude is just like him, and that's all I heard all the way through growing up. You know, I mean, I remember leaving home because she told me if I didn't like what was going on in her house, I can leave. And I said something smart, oh, don't mind if I do. Don't know where I'm going at 15. You know, but I was always around older people growing up. And I was able to be in touch with folks that had their own apartment, you know, because I feel like I can go talk stuff over here. But then when I get finished, I can go on over here and stay for that night. But needless to say, holding on to that resentment for years after years after years, it led me out in the street. And I was trying to find outside avenues to be accepted. You know, so the drug of choice, you all know what happened with that. I lived to use and I used to live. And at the end of the road, when I started eating out the trash can, you know, where I left my kids many a times over somebody's house, and I said, I'll be right back. I got you. I smashed them off a little something before I go, just enough to hold them for that night. You know, but my intentions was to go back home. I just couldn't make it there because there was still some folks coming in with some paper. And we need to use and dispose all of the paper before I exit. You know, so you're doing all that and trying to fulfill a void that I thought that other people can fill for me. It just didn't work. During a relationship, I remember, I'm going to jump to coming into treatment, messing with a guy. You know, it's always about the paper. I was messing with this guy that was selling the bubble gum and the candy and Curt Hall in one of the facilities where we were. And all I thought about was ching ching. I got me one. And lo and behold, I stayed there in that program for 28 days. I must have got put out on the 26th day. And because I took me with me when I went, right? I dictated some behaviors that wasn't acceptable to the program and they put me out. So I proceeded in using, and then I came back. But when I came back, my bottom was eating out the trash cans. Trying to fast forward. This is not. Eating out the trash can. You know, in all the places where I was living, I was always living in somebody else's house at that moment, and they took care of me. The house was clean, but I always found the dirtiest crack house on the street to go in. And I was like, roaches running all over the place, and the clothes all piled up. But I forgot when I left, I said I was going to the laundromat a month ago, and mine's still piling up, but I put it in neatly. So I didn't think it was such a bother, and it didn't look that bad. But I have always been in nice places all through my coming up. And I can just remember when it was at the end, when I was eating out the trash can, taking my kids with me to the park. I don't know, I used to be with this guy that was the dirtiest guy in Washington, D.C. You know the trash truck that used to come down the street? You can smell him way before he got there. But he was a regular. He had the paper. And he was somebody that I need to be with on a regular. You know, but needless to say, I ended up having a baby in 94. And I did everything I could to have him, to get rid of him, because I didn't want him. He was in my way. And they wasn't selling me anything anymore. You know, I went on and I went into treatment, and I left my child there. You know, I don't know what happened, but I knew I needed some help. So I left my baby in the hospital. He had so much of the narcotics and all that other stuff in him. You know, they kept him. But but they still allowed me to go over there and see them. I'm going to move on and go up a little bit more. When I got put out, I went right back around there where I used to use that, and I stayed for a little while, July to September. And then I found myself going into the program, and I was staying with my mother for just a few weeks. And I'm thinking that she was going to take me to the program, you know, and get my bags and stuff all ready, and tell me to do what I need to be doing. She told me to go catch the bus. The first thing, smoking, and you're not going to stay long, you know, because your mouth is going to make you get yourself put out. But nevertheless, I didn't make it, you know. I just want to get into what happened today. I was outside praying, like I said. Now, along the way, I have a mother of five. I lost two of my boys. One of them is in 03. He was 26. And when they took him, I was in recovery. I had 9 years clean. And actually, he died the day after my 9th year. You know, and I said, whatever it takes for me to stay here, because I knew I was going to kill myself if I smoked or drank anything because of that. Whatever it was going to do, I was going to endure. So I had a friend of mine that come over and rock me through that, because I seen that she was able to deal with that. And along with having you people giving me the information, I feel distracted. Giving me the information that's needed for me to stay here. You know, it was only a blessing through God that I was able to do that. During my journey, I was able to finish the program, go into transitional, watch my house be built from the ground up. An 8th grade dropout, you know, on welfare, was off of welfare, was able to work in the government, you know. I'm just trying to tell you about the process. When I surrendered, God did everything that I needed to be done. And then along the way, you know, I was going to meetings, I was working, and I was doing everything that's needed. Then my baby boy got killed. That was in 94, and he was only 19. So God prepared me when I had the first one taken from me. And when I seen the newcomers stand up, and one of them kind of favored my son, is I guess it's the youngest one that stood up, the white t-shirt, you know, it put me in the mind of my son. And I wish I could have been or had the information to be able to walk them through the process of not being on the streets, not hustling, or whatever the case may be, you know. But I did the best that I can do. And when my baby boy got killed, that's the one I got clean with. He was the one that allowed me to endure whatever comes down the pipe. You know, they need to bring it on. I don't know, this program and you people has allowed me to stick and stay, do what I need to do. You know, I try to stay focused on what I'm doing. In my job, I started off as a temp in D.C. government, and I was listening to one of the other friends of mine. She was talking about how she applied for a job being a lieutenant and just doing it. And she was offered an interview, you know, and I was thinking about when the time I came into the D.C. government, I said I was going to make a difference if I didn't do nothing else. Because every time you call them folks, they said, wait a minute, hold on, I have to transfer you. This is not my line. Let me give you to that department over there. When they give you that department transfers you over there. You know, and I said I was going to make a difference if I have to go and pick that laundry up, go to the store, whatever it took for me to be there. So I've been now on that job for 22 years, only by His grace. You know, my position is like a revenue officer, and I can go into establishments and shut them down. Talking about me, the addict. When I used to go in there and see what I can take out of that. You know what I mean? So now they have me flipping my bags, and you know when we used to wear the Beavers? I used to always thought that was my little pistol I had on the side. Don't let it be. And then I take it out of my cell phone and flip it. Oh, it was on. You know, I thought that was it. But I'm trying to tell you, I have so many people in my life, and this room, I'm just overwhelmed. you know, with it. I want to be able to give back what was so freely given to me. God has used me in more ways than one, and I just want that addict to know that you don't have to use no matter what. I have one child left, which is my son, that's giving me a run for my money, right? I have the program. I have two girls, too. They are my oldest girls. I have one son left that has taken me to hell and back. And I can't give up on him because he's all I got. Right. I know there's a lot of things you all tell me that I don't have to deal with it and I have to stand for something. But a lot of times when I be trying to do that, you know, it causes more confrontation. So if I continue on doing what I need to be doing to stay on this journey, God is going to bring him in here and set him down and be able to say that he is 24 hours clean, you know. So God has also allowed me to be working in the transitional home where I'm able to help kids 17 to 21. I work out of three houses, and they all call me mom. They all respect me. And they make me feel like I'm somebody because I always thought I wasn't good enough, you know, and I had to give you all of me before I'm able to feel like that I was being loved, you know. But today, if somebody come up and talk about their house, their car, their money, and all that, that don't move. That doesn't do anything for me. What it does is just encourage me to let them know that everything that you got, I can give it to, and I have it. So I don't need your accessories to allow me to feel like I'm somebody. You know, I don't need a man in my life to validate who I am. That's the pleasure. To be able to be who I am and stand strong in where I am. And I'm not settling for less, you know. I don't have to do it today. You know, the pleasure is to be able to make some choices. Some healthy choices. Yeah. And being in relationships with friends, family, and neighbors. If it's something that's not sitting well in my spirit, I ask God to remove it. And what he does is allow me to be out of the way. You know, so it's a lot that I just give it to God and let God do what he needs to do with me. I no longer fight. I no longer try to be confrontational. With folks, and that's the pleasure of seeing the real me show up. You know, I don't always have to say nothing. You know, I don't always have to say the last word or have the last word. Just knowing that the program has allowed me to grow up to the young lady that God has always seen in me. You know, and if I was adopted by my mom, I know that I am an instrument of this program. I'm a product of this program, and representing myself as who I am, I am proud to say that I am real happy to know that I'm giving all of me to whomever. I don't know, I just hope I reach somebody, you know, just to know that no matter what, bring it on, you know. And you don't have to sleep around, lay around, and sit around to have someone to accept you as you are. You know what I mean? You don't have to be used. I just know today that I'm not selling for less. You know, I have some folks in my life that genuinely cares about me. They let me know exactly what it is that I need to know about me. And I'm open to take the suggestions that's needed. But I just got past this thing that says, attention, 5 minutes. So I'm going to close with this. I want to thank the committee again for allowing me to be here. And it's been a pleasure and an honor to be amongst you all. Thank you for allowing me to be here.